Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Couple of quick announcements too before I get into the message, but Chris and Londa Harwell, as you might know already, are off on an adventure. Basically, they are he's doing insurance adjusting, and so they're going to be out of town indefinitely. Back in town sometimes, and then out of town for, you know, I don't know. They don't know really, and so I'm going to take over the leadership of the healing ministry right now. Way back in the day, earlier, about 10 years ago, I was in charge of the healing ministry back then. And so now this is another season for me, and I'm really excited about it. I feel like God is wanting to really do a lot of things in this season for the body of Christ. And so I'm looking forward to it. Rochelle, come on up. This is Rochelle Crowder, and she's also going to be basically co-leading the healing team with me, helping out with Londa, and she's a good friend of Londa's, and so I'm sure there'll be phone calls and things like that back and forth, but I'm just going to introduce her and let her say anything that's on her heart right now.
Thank you. Well, I'm honored to be here and to be with you all. I've enjoyed working with some of you already in the past. So anyway, I didn't know I was going to say anything tonight, so I just kind of asked the Lord what his heart was tonight. I saw this picture of all these little sheep, which is all of us, and how we've been in the world. We've been out there, and some of us have been at work. And I even saw like a little group of little youngsters kind of out, kind of running around and just having a good time. And so, but we all have our unique experiences that we've had today. But I feel like as we've all come and drawn to this place, I see just a picture of Jesus like sitting on a hill with all of us just kind of just engaging him. And almost kind of like this feeling, you know, if you remember back to being a little kid and school gets out and you come home and you're like ready to talk about the day. And like that's the best time. If you're a parent, you know, that's the best time to talk to your kids. But I just feel like the Lord, that he just loves that. He loves how you come to him like that. And like I just feel like just every day, just to kind of like just talk about the day. And because he knows there are needs, he knows that like when we're out there in the fields that we need to hear about some of the things that happened that day or some of the things that we were believing or that kind of thing. But I just kept hearing him say that he's got it all covered. So he's got it all covered for you. Like everything, every need that you have from today or even any time throughout your life, that he's got it all covered. And so I'm just, it's exciting. It's exciting to watch and see how that he works that out with you guys. So anyway, again, thank you for the introduction. Amen.
Thank you. And by the way, I know she doesn't know I'm going to say this, but it's Dr. Rochelle Crowder. She's a medical doctor and has a lot of experience in that. So she brings a unique flavor, obviously, to the team. So, all right. Well, tonight I'm going to obviously focus on healing ministry. And these are healing nights. And it's good to see you all out here tonight. Whenever somebody comes out, you know, on an off night and you're seeking Jesus, I call you radical. You're hungry for God. If you're out on a Tuesday night, just, you know, wanting to listen to the word or whatever. And so I want to talk tonight about receiving from God and what that looks like. And I'm going to focus specifically, biblically, how Jesus kind of set it up. But receiving from God is a very important reality in the scriptures. Receiving from God means that you are in a positioning your heart to partake of what Jesus has already done, like Rochelle shared. He's got it all covered for you. This statement's a true statement. Healing is for me because of what Jesus has already done for me. I want you to think through that statement tonight. I'm going to say it a few times. But healing is for me, and I'm talking not just about physical healing, but any dimension of healing is yours already because of what Jesus already has done for you. That's, in fact, what Scripture teaches us. And so to position our hearts to receive means that we have to follow Jesus into that place of receiving from him, meaning that sometimes we think we are in a place to receive from God, and it doesn't feel like we're receiving anything from him, and often we have to depend on him to find out why we're not receiving from him. For example, the Bible teaches, and Jesus taught, that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it'll be difficult to receive anything from him. Meaning that are specific things that Jesus talked about that can, so to speak, plug up your ability to receive. James chapter 1 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and that man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, it's not because God doesn't want to give something to you. It just means that your ability to actually receive things, if you're back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, that's not the way to receive from God. Jesus taught when he cursed the fig tree, and they were going into town, and he looked at it, and it wasn't bearing fruit, and he cursed it, but nothing happened immediately. It wasn't until they came out of town. By the way, when he went into town, that's where he cleansed the temple. And threw out all the business guys from the house of prayer, basically. And then when he came out the next day, Peter noticed it. He noticed that the fig tree was withered up and it had died. And he was really excited. And Jesus went from that into the teaching where he said, you need to believe in God. And he said, if you speak to this mountain and you don't have any doubt in your heart, this mountain will begin to move. It'll move for you. But he was teaching it following up the cursing of the fig tree. And the fig tree didn't die immediately. And often we're looking for the spectacular. We're looking for immediate miracles, for evidence that God is working or something of that nature in the healing ministry. But doubt, according to Jesus, will kill your faith in that regard. Sometimes there's teaching out there that teach you you gotta get more faith before you can receive from God. Well, actually, you've all been given, if you're born again tonight, you've been given a measure of faith already. It's already in you. What the Bible teaches and what Jesus taught with that is that doubt is what basically will prevent your faith from working in that sense. Because it's all about what you believe at a heart level. That's where it gets to it. You know, analogy that I like to use is two horses, and they're both tied to the same cart, and the cart's in the middle, and one horse is doubt, and the other horse is faith or believing God. And they're both pulling in opposite directions. And so if doubt horse is strong like it is, it's going to pull hard enough to where you're stagnant right here. You're staying in one spot. You're stuck. Or however else you want to say it. You got to starve the doubt horse for the faith horse to take off, so to speak. It's just another way of looking at it, just, you know, these type of analogies. But what we want to look at is, what did Jesus himself teach about healing and receiving from him? And I'm going to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4. And I'm going to be in here just briefly. In verse 17, it says, from that time, this is when Jesus started his ministry. When he settled in Capernaum, he fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy by how he moved about and then settled in Capernaum. And then verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so this is the out of the wilderness, out of being tempted by God, I mean, not by God, but by the devil, sustained by God, victorious, baptized, and then he settled his so-called place where he was going to stay was Capernaum. And then right after that, the first things that Jesus began to speak, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, meaning he's starting to speak God, whatever God wants him to speak, because Jesus said in several places in Scripture, I don't do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. I don't do anything, because he's representing his Father on earth. And so the first thing he begins to say is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, most of us know repentance is turning from sin, but it's also changing your mind, meaning that you got to turn from your sin. You got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to turn from it, repent, and turn away and go the other way, in essence. But another way to say this is, along with repentance for sin, repent means change your mind. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means change the way you think. The kingdom of heaven is now within your reach. Meaning at hand means it's right there. You can partake of it. Now, in that time, that was a stunning statement. Because here's God himself, but as a man, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking the oracles of God, if you will. And he's saying now, you got to change the way you think now, because heaven is here for you now. He's saying, my kingdom right now is within your reach. But you, back then, it would have been very difficult for them to comprehend that God would do anything for them apart from the priests, apart from the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the other religious groups at that time. Common people would never think that, because the Pharisees had built themselves up as basically being the men of God. That you know, the mediators of between God and man. And now Jesus is saying this thing. This is why he was called a false prophet often. He was saying, change the way you think, the kingdom of heaven is now within your reach. Meaning you have to think differently now. You have to be in this position at a heart level to begin to receive from God. And Scripture bears this out. And now fast forward to Matthew 4:23. This is basically the healing flow of the kingdom now. Jesus is preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's within your reach now. And then it says this, Jesus was going throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of his kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So now what Jesus is saying, he's bearing it out now. He's saying, change the way you think. My kingdom is now available to you. Now watch this. The paralytic, Jesus lays his hand on the paralytic, and suddenly he's whole, up and walking around. Can you imagine the commotion? The mentally insane from being demon-possessed are there, you know, frothing on the ground or however you want to say it or whatever's going on with them. And Jesus, with a word or touching them, we don't know exactly what he did, but suddenly they're in their right mind and calm. Can you imagine the chaos and the rejoicing and the demonic manifestation and all of that? This is back in, you know, there's no wheelchairs, there's no nothing like that. People are being dragged in the mud on boards and pallets and things of that nature, and this chaos, and Jesus is healing them all. But he was first teaching, change the way you think, my kingdom is now available to you. And so people are going, you know, they're not actually having to think about receiving from him. They're seeing it with their eyes. And everybody is having faith right in the moment, because they go, look what he just did to that one. I'm getting in line. Right? There was a mob, and then this crowd followed Jesus from all these cities. And then he goes into Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. He starts teaching the people the value system of the kingdom of God and how to participate in his kingdom now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the same message as repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying poor in spirit means if you recognize that you need God, you are blessed because God's going to be there for you. He's given you his whole kingdom. That's the idea. That's what poor in spirit means. It means humbling yourself before God. Isn't that a glorious reality? The blessed in the Greek there means the fullest degree of blessing you could possibly have. That's the word Jesus used in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you who are mourning, for you will be comforted in the context of the kingdom of heaven that's now within your reach. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's actually showing you this dimension of interaction with his kingdom. And then he goes on in Matthew 6. He starts talking about your private way of relating to God. He's setting up intimacy and communion with his Father. He says, don't be like the Pharisees that are praying on the street corners and they're doing these long babbling prayers and drawing attention to themselves. They say, go into your prayer closet and pray and my Father will reward you openly. Jesus said, if you give something away, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is giving. And then my Father will reward you. He's talking about living a secret lifestyle of interaction and communion with his Father privately. And people have never heard this before. They literally don't know what he's talking about. But Jesus is setting up his whole value system of how the kingdom of heaven actually works that's now within your reach. So if you believe Jesus back then, you're saved, healed, delivered. And you were touched profoundly by him, obviously. Now, lots of times we long to be in that time, because it seemed like it all worked really well then, right? We long to see instantaneous miracles all the time. And so now what we have, we're living under the new covenant. Jesus had not died yet. He hadn't been resurrected yet. And John 3:16 says, we know what that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is what we're teaching nowadays. It's the gospel of the kingdom. God loves you. If Jesus died for your sins, you accept him, you're going to be born again. You can invite him into your heart, you know, however you want to say it. But the next verse sets up your receiving ability from God. Because the gospel of the kingdom just isn't repentance from sin. The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus demonstrated was from Matthew 4 when he healed all who came to him. He was demonstrating the full benefits of the kingdom of heaven. And salvation and healing are part of the atonement together. We are it's much more easy for the body of Christ right now to receive salvation. That born again miracle, that is the greatest miracle. When you are dead in your sins and suddenly you are alive to God and God himself is now living in you, it's an extraordinary miracle. There's no diminishing that. But healing is also available to the believer, but we have to change the way we think. We're in the new covenant now. Now, under the new covenant, God is not going to violate your free will. And you say, well, what is my will today? You know, I say this all the time, but A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about you right now, sitting in your seat tonight, is what you believe about God. Because whatever you believe about God is how you're relating to him right now. And if you are believing God or relating to God based on your theological assumptions or your own reality or your experiences of the kingdom of God, And you're not really working your salvation out in the Word of God, then you're going to be ripe for deception and believing God in a certain reality. Thank you very much. You read my mind. Or you heard my throat, whichever one. And so the idea is that you are, whatever you're believing about God is how you're also receiving from him. Do you know that a lot of believers in the body of Christ don't receive from Jesus because they don't feel worthy? Now, where did you learn that? That's not the gospel of the kingdom. That is not good news. Jesus healed that whole huge crowd from many cities in Matthew 4. And he didn't stop and say, are you worthy? I'm not going to heal you because you're kind of doing this, that, and anything. He never demonstrated any of that. He healed all who came to him in that regard, in those settings. And he was demonstrating, again, the kingdom of heaven's now within your reach. So your ability to receive from God, sometimes you think, God, I want you to show up for me. I need you. I need you to do stuff for me. But you don't realize on the free will level, at some level in our hearts, that you are actually preventing God, and you don't realize it because you don't think I'm worthy. We don't think we're worthy. We don't feel like God really loves us. We feel like we're the only one that's going to screw it all up, or that we're the only one that's secretly failing. You know, one of my ministry gifts is counseling. You know, I used to counsel in a secular setting, and, you know, I have a master's degree in counseling, and so I've been doing this for almost 2 decades now. And over the years, I've watched people grapple with their free will. I've watched people come in and say, I absolutely don't want to drink anymore, because if I drink, when I did addictions counseling, if I drink, I'm going to lose my family. But I saw the torment and the pain, because the amount of effort guys would have to go through, or girls would have to go through, to not drink when they weren't trusting in Jesus. They literally would have to change the way they drove home so they wouldn't see a bar that they normally frequent, and, you know, those things like. And I watched guys, not one of those guys, this is how it was for them. They would say, I want to be free. But at the same time, I watched many of them choose the opposite. I always remember one guy. He said, "I'm going to lose my daughter." He was under an employee assistant program from a factory he was working in. He said, "I'm going to lose my daughter if I drink again." And so I would work with him, and I appealed to his spirituality, and I prayed, and then I found out later one time he came in and he said, I went into the bar, I thought I could do it, just take one drink. I thought I was there now. And I said, it never sounded like you were there. I mean, the way he wrestled through things, he wasn't there. So he took one drink, his last thing he could remember, and he woke up on his front porch the next morning. He doesn't even know how he got there. And then he lost his daughter. But he told me, all the time when he was sober and struggling, he told me the whole time, I don't want to do this, but he ended up doing this. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're unaware of the way our free will is choosing God, or limiting God, or preventing God from actually pouring out what's available to us. Sometimes our free will doesn't believe that healing is available to us, doesn't believe that God does things or has offered things to us. And so the only way to convince ourselves is through the Word of God. So Jesus has done all this. Matthew 4, he's healed all who came to him. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he taught about his kingdom. And by the way, at the end of Matthew 7, Jesus says two very distinct things. He says, if you hear what I said and then do what I said, you're like a man that builds his house on a rock. And when the storms of life come, you won't be shaken. But he says, if you hear my words, which it's easy in our society to hear words of God, is it not? You can turn on your computer, you can get 15 different messages from around the world on the gospel of the kingdom. You can get the word of God from anywhere right now. On your phone, you just lift your phone up and you can get it. You can decide what kind of words you want to have, so to speak, and whatever you're bringing inside of you. But Jesus then says that if you hear my word and you don't do it, then you're like building a house. It's like you're walking through life. You're looking like you're walking with God. You're building your life. It looks exactly the same. The man that built his house in a rock and the man that built his house in the sand, they both built houses. To the outside eyes, it looks exactly the same. But Jesus said, if you only hear my words and don't do them, you're foolish. You're like building a house on sand. And when the storms of life come, it just crumbles all around you. And that's the idea. Jesus, what he means what he says, and he says what he means. And so we have to pay attention to how he says to receive from God. Now, so the same Jesus in Matthew 4, 5, 6, and 7, remember, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand, within your reach. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in his last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now, notice that he actually made the world through Jesus. He created the world through Jesus. And then it says, and he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things from the word of his power, meaning that Jesus is exactly radiating who the Father God is. So whatever Jesus does on earth is the Father's will for humanity. Can you see that? That's what it is. And then John 1:17 through 18 says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, verse 18, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Meaning Jesus has explained the Father. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I could keep reading scriptures that shows you that Jesus is the image of God. Okay? So then when you think of Jesus, you are thinking of God's will, or the Father, and his will for you. So whatever Jesus did on earth, he's demonstrating the Father's will to humanity. Hopefully that makes sense, because that's awesome news for us. It really is. It means that we get in this posture of receiving God, or receiving from God. John 12:45 says, he who sees me sees the one who sent me. John 10:37 and 38 says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. This is Jesus talking. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. There's no clearer than that. Now I'm going to skip down to the idea of receiving from God. Matthew 20, 29 to 34. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? That's really interesting. The idea is that they were passionately calling out to God. Now, I'm going to start to show you now the concept of your free will pressing into God. Now, you're not going to press into God if you don't think you're worthy. But John 3:17 says, after John 3:16, John 3:17 says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost. One of the greatest tools of the enemy is to condemn people, when Jesus's actually mandate was not to condemn the world, but to save that which was lost, meaning to save lost humanity. Or like Rochelle said, the sheep. You know, that parable that if one lost sheep, Jesus will leave the 99 to go find the one, will he not? That is who God is. And if God is that way for one, he's that way for another. And then the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we got the same Jesus that walked around in the Gospels that lives today. And yet we, you know, often we struggle with, you know, well, why don't we see more healing, or why isn't this happening, or why isn't that happening? But the idea is not to focus on the why, but to focus on the Word of God and focus on Jesus and how He's leading you. And the idea of working in ministry. And so now we got to build ourselves in this passion. These two blind men are crying out, have mercy. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? They just simply said, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Notice the passion and intensity these men cried out to Jesus in the midst of a large crowd. He believed he would heal them. Jesus asked a key question, what do you want me to do? And his compassion rose up and he healed them. Now this is the idea of receiving from God. When you start asking the Lord, how do you want me to receive from you? We have to do it passionately. We also have to do trying to eliminate and starve our doubt. Meaning if we have doubt and we're unsure of it, so many people in the body of Christ, when they walk through their own experiences, they try to interpret the Bible by their experiences. They try to say, this isn't how it was for me. You know, I didn't get healed, or my dad didn't get healed, or somebody in my life didn't get healed, so it mustn't be God's will to heal me or others, or maybe he just sometimes does it, sometimes doesn't do it, or that kind of a thing. When the reality is, if we focus on passionately receiving from him and we begin to believe the word of what he said, that Jesus wants to heal. Now, I encourage you to go through all the scripture when Jesus did any type of healing at all and ask yourself the question, does Jesus want to heal? Now, let me just qualify this. There's intense spiritual warfare against the gospel. And Jesus himself, when he cursed the fig tree, it didn't die immediately. There's another case in scripture where Jesus laid hands on a blind man a couple of times. There's different healings that happen. Sometimes, you know, spit was rubbed in eyes, and there's other things going on like that. And that was all under the old covenant. But the idea is, in scripture, do you find people passionately pursuing this idea of receiving from God? And if we focus there, and the word will begin to transform your mind and renew your mind into that reality. So that when something happens that seems contrary to the word, we don't rest on that and try to figure all that out. We just stay with Jesus in the Word of God and begin to play it out. I had a recent experience. I've been passionately pursuing the healing work of God in my own life now for probably a decade or so. Passionately, meaning that doesn't mean every day I'm. There's sometimes where I feel like giving up all the time. I mean, I'm not saying that there's never these moments of hopelessness or things like that, but it's just this idea of not backing off this reality. About 7 or 8 years ago, one time, I'm going to make these real short, but one, I was carrying my son, who's, he was 4 or 5 at the time. He's 11 now, so it's about 6 years ago. I was carrying him in the door of our old house, and we had to step up on a concrete step. And I somehow slipped off of it and fell right in my ankle, and I was holding him. And I heard a crack, and I felt excruciating pain. And I hollered, and I about dropped my son. But I was able to set him down on his feet. And I was like, oh, no, this is not good, because I heard the crack. I mean, I grew up playing hockey in Canada, and you know I know sports injuries and knee injuries and things like that. My knee felt off as the same thing, but my ankle, I heard that, and the pain was horrible. And I thought, I'm going to be off my feet for 3 months. And then I immediately followed it up because of how I was pursuing God. I said, no, this can't happen. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I took one step with my good foot, one step with the bad one, and it was horrible pain. And I said, be healed in Jesus' name. I took another step and another step. It was less, another step, and suddenly the pain was gone. And I shouted for joy. And Ethan, my son, was like so excited because he had heard me holler. It had scared him. And I picked him up and I ran around the house praising God. I don't know what happened, but I heard the crack. I felt the pain. And but I had twinges of tenderness later on in the day, but I just kept saying, no, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And then nothing. I didn't go to the doctor or anything like it. I didn't have pain. About 3 weeks ago, a similar thing happened. We got this new dog. He's a Doberman Pinscher puppy, and he's big already. He's a puppy, but he's big already. And he's literally, you try to walk him, he walks you, if you know what I mean. So I'm tugging him, and we're going down the hill in our yard, and it's a new yard, and he's pulling me down the hill. I'm trying to stop him, and I step in a hole. And in the hole, the same thing happened. My ankle turned, and I heard a crack. And I went down on my face, and my kids were out in the yard, and I screamed because it hurt bad, and it still hurt. I was laying down. And Duke, my dog, was jumping on me. He thought I was playing or something. And his face here, and I was going, help! Because get the dog off me, first of all. And then I said, run, get your mom. And for whatever reason, my wife never came out in a timely fashion. You know, it's just like, I don't know if she didn't believe me or whatever. But during that whole process, I was thinking, man, this it hurts so bad. And I heard that crack again. And then throughout all that, once the dog was off of me, my son was there, Ethan, and he's holding Duke. Finally I said, Jesus, heal me. That's all I said. And then Ethan bent down, and he put his finger in my ankle, and he said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, because that's how I've taught my kids. And I wasn't thinking about it. I was like thinking, where's my wife? I'm laying here in pain, and my wife still, she walked out of the house, and she said, I'll be right back, and back in. I was like, hey, wait. And she went back in the house, and then I thought, you know what? I don't have pain right now. And I got up on my knee, and I got up on my good foot, and I took a step, and there was nothing. I was totally healed. In fact, my hip that was bothering me felt great that night, too. And the next morning, when I was walking in my bare feet, which was unusual, I wear sandals, it felt just fine. And it isn't always like that, but that's what I do, is I go to God first. And that's how I've trained my mind. Another time with this same son, Ethan, I was down in Florida, and we had this big, heavy car door. And it was wide open. I was getting luggage out. It was late at night. We'd arrived like at 2 in the morning. And somehow that door swung shut right on my thumb. And I got in there, and it slammed my thumb in there. And it hurt really bad. And I literally couldn't pull it out. I had to go like this and open the car door. And I opened it up, and I looked at my thumb. There's this massive indent. It looked like it had gone right into the bone. And Ethan, my son again, without me even saying anything, I was looking at my thumb. It was throbbing. And he goes, in the name of Jesus, my dad is healed. And the pain just disappeared. And it's just, that's the kind of idea of going after God with that. Now, I have to say honestly, it's not always been like that, meaning that there are times when we don't see immediate healing. Or there's times when we have coughs or things of that nature. Sometimes we're healed of them and sometimes we're not. But guess what? I'm not going to do. I mean, this is how it is for you personally. I'm going to stay in this position of believing that God wants me to walk in health. That's just what I believe from what I've gathered in Scripture. And because of that, I'm going to keep praying that way, believing that way. And if I don't see something immediate, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to not go to the doctor. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to go to God first, because I believe the medical field is a blessing of God in the same way. Like, you know, there's many people out there that don't even ask God to heal them. So they go to the medical field. It's a blessing of God. But the idea is how do you want to receive from God? How are you thinking that God wants to bless you tonight? Do you think that you have to perform in a certain way for him to bless you? Do you think that you have to be sinless or that you have to be worthy in some fashion or manner or something of that nature? That's not at all how the gospel is taught. We can receive from God whether we're mad, glad, sad, or bad in that regard, because God is good all the time for us. And so Matthew 9:27-31, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind man came up to him, and Jesus said to him, listen to what Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith," or according to what you believe. That's what Jesus is saying there. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. How could we know?" But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped, no, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Notice her faith. He didn't say, "I made you well." He said, "What you believe right here made you well." She believed so intently and passionately about receiving from Jesus, even though she wasn't sure who he really was. She thought he was a rabbi of some type, but she had probably seen him do other miracles, that she pressed through every hindrance to touch him, and he made her well. So what does this mean for us tonight? It just simply means that we have to submit our will to God. We have to recognize that Jesus wants to touch you. If I ask for a show of hands right now, how many people have received a miracle from God of some form? Look at that. And you know how many people have received the miracle of salvation? Look at that. I mean, look what Jesus has done. I mean, if I invited all of you up, you could all tell me stories of what God has done for you and how he's touched your life. And so the bottom line is that we have to continually position ourselves before the power of the gospel, but also before the man Christ Jesus and what he's already done for you. Isaiah 53, and I'll end with this, says that he bore your pains and sicknesses. He was pierced through for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. Your transgressions are your sins. He was pierced through for that. Your iniquities is our rebellion or even our perversions. See, some people think that they are so far from God that they just can't come to him until they clean some stuff up in their lives or shut doors. You know when you come to Jesus? Right now at any time. We can come boldly before the throne of grace when we need anything before, because when you're born again, you're wearing white robes of righteousness because of what Jesus has already done for you and in you. 2 Corinthians 5 says, you are his righteousness in the Spirit. That's a glorious reality. That means there's no stopping you from receiving from God. And the final point, though, is sometimes you don't see something right away. That doesn't mean that you don't ask God or you come to him if you don't see it right away. Healing happens over periods of time sometime. Robert, why don't you kick on the feed? We're going to start some ministry right now. Why don't the team come on up? And what we're going to do is just simply create an atmosphere where you can receive from God. Now, I don't want you to think about who's praying for you or what's going on. Literally, I felt similar things to what Rochelle felt about who Jesus is tonight. I felt like God is excited about you all, that he wants to pour into you tonight. I don't know what that means, emotionally, physically, whatever it is. But he wants to just minister to his people tonight. And if you're okay with that, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that. And I don't want you to think about what anybody's thinking or who can pray for you, who's not praying for you, if they're praying right or whatever. I want you to receive from God because of what Jesus has already done for you. Healing is for you because of what Jesus has already done for you. I felt like the Holy Spirit tonight wanted to touch some knees tonight. I remember one time, a long time ago, several years ago, in a healing ministry. It was a healing service like this one. It was some of the first ones that I had ever been a part of. And I had a word of knowledge for a bad right knee. And I remember a guy came down. He came down and he was limping and he had a bad right knee. And he sat down and he said, "Brother, this knee has hurt me for 30 years. And I was like, you know, I'd rather get, you know, the one where it's not too bad and we can maybe just pass it on that something happened or whatever. And then I thought, no, it's not me. It's not us. It's not even you. It's does God want you to have his best? Does he love you? Has he provided for you? Look what he's already done in your life. Let's go the whole way. God is not a God that if he does one thing on one thing for you, heaven dims because all the power's gone now. No, he can do it all. But you stay in this process of receiving from him. Sometimes you'll see instantaneous stuff, and sometimes he'll touch you over weeks. We had a guy when we were giving food to the poor that came into the healing rooms one time. And this guy was not churched. Wasn't a Christian. This is in 2009. The economy was bad. He'd lost his job because he had bad arthritis. He could barely move. And he kind of hobbled in. The healing team prayed for him. And he got food and he hobbled out. And nobody thought anything of it. Until about 2 or 3 weeks later, he came back in to get some more food. But he'd got, you know, and he said to somebody, "Do you remember me?" And nobody remembered him. He said, "I was a guy that lost my job because of this bad arthritis. Just wanted you to know that in a couple of days or that night or the second night," he said, "I woke up and all my pain was gone. And I walked back and I got my job back." And they were like, "How did that happen?" And he just thought, "Well, this is normal. You said that Jesus was going to heal me and you prayed for me." But he walked out and we could have been discouraged because we didn't see something right then. Don't be discouraged. Starve your doubt. Just receive from him because he loves you and he's already done it for us. So let's just let him do his thing tonight. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to just pray. If you want healing for any reason, just feel free to come forward right now. Why don't you just stand? Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the gospel. Jesus, that you gave your whole heart for us. And so, Lord, we're asking tonight, we want to give our whole heart back to you. But we want to be in this place of receiving from you tonight. And so, Lord, we're asking right now in your authority that you'd begin to release your healing ministry in this room. Lord, I pray for those knees right now. In Jesus' name, I speak health and healing over knees right now. I speak to the pain. I say, go in Jesus' name. I pray for a restoration of joints and ligaments. And Lord, where there's been tears in ligaments, Lord, that you'd restore those places in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you come forward, just stand along the front so we know we can pray for you. We're going to just turn this into a time of prayer, like the prayer room for a little while. And if you need to sit down, feel free to do that and just hang out.